good to see everybody here. I believe this is one of our largest crowds since the events of last year took place. So we're glad to see everybody, and hopefully you realize this is where you need to be, and this is where we ought to be. And we need to be here from now on. The title of the lesson today might be a little deceptive, but it's talking about justice. And yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Now, we've heard the phrase, I want justice. And we want justice. And how we get it? How are we going to get it? Well, we've heard this quite often recently. See, in light of recent events, it is appropriate to devote our attention to the theme of justice. And we need to recognize that. And what is said here is applicable during most cases of civil unrest. And this is a phrase we hear. We want justice. We want justice. And how do we get justice? Well, let's burn down buildings. Let's riot. Let's do things like that. See, we're not going to dwell on the particulars of who perpetrated what against whom or why. We'll simply address the theme. And it is important because civil rights should be advocated. And that's true. Some people have been killed unnecessarily. We have to acknowledge that. But how do people react? By what sense are they seeking justice? Well, when you translate it, justice for a lot of these people is nothing more than revenge. Justice for a lot of these people is nothing more than payback. Justice for a lot of these people is nothing more than paying back for the problems we've endured in the past. And that's what their concept of justice is. We'll bring things to justice. There's only one form of justice that will be pure. That is the justice that God gives us. Because a lot of people are not going to be happy with the sentence that God pronounces upon them. And they're not going to feel like they have justice served for them. And yet we're also told in the scriptures that we're looking for justice. We who are faithful, who have been trampled under by persecution and by the unrest that people have perpetrated upon us. We need relief. And God talks about that. Jesus talks about that. The apostles talked about that. Yes, we are seeking that relief because one of these days, God is going to come out and execute his justice on those who deserve it. And so, yes, we have to deal with these things, but we do need to look at civil rights, and we hear this term a lot. We've heard it in the media quite often over the past couple of years. In Acts 22:22-29, we read that Paul invoked his rights as a Roman citizen to spare himself from unnecessary harm. Let's just read that, beginning verse 22. And they listened to him up to this statement, and then they raised their voice and said, "Away with such a fellow from the earth, for he should not be allowed to live." And as they were crying out and throwing off their cloaks and tossing dust into the air, the commander ordered him to be brought into the barracks, stating that he should be examined by scourging, so that he might find out the reason why they were shouting against him that way. And when they stretched him out with thongs, Paul said to the centurion who was standing by, "Is it lawful for you to scourge a man who is a Roman and uncondemned?" And when the centurion heard this, he went to the commander and told him, saying, "What are you about to do? For this man is a Roman." And the commander came and said to him, "Tell me, are you a Roman?" And Paul said, "Yes." And the commander answered, "I acquired this citizenship with a large sum of money." And Paul said, "But I was actually born a citizen." Therefore, those who were about to examine him immediately let go of him. And the commander also was afraid when he found out that he was a Roman, and because he had put him in chains. But on the next day, wishing to know for certain why he had been accused by the Jews, he released him and ordered the chief priests and all the council to assemble and brought Paul down and set him before them. So here is a citizen who had all the rights of being a citizen, has been detained, has been arrested, has been basically about to be punished without even the benefit of a trial. And Paul just simply asks the question, is this right? And we see that happening now. And people look at the events taking place. Well, these people were executed before they even had a trial. And that was undeserved. So we want justice. Once again, we want payback. And how do they express this? What are they going to do? How are they going to get justice for this person? Some of them, many didn't even know. Well, I think if we go steal some Gucci bags and some Yves Saint Laurent and go in these stores and take what we want, then that'll be serving as our justice. See, in Acts 16, 16 through 24, and verse 35 to 39, on another occasion, the apostle had already suffered illegitimate oppression when he mentioned his own civil rights, demanding a personal appearance from the magistrates before cooperating with them. I mean, here he was. People were trying to beat him up, trying to kill him and get rid of him. And he says, hey, I have rights too. And so he appealed to the authorities for those rights. He even appealed to the case, I want to talk to Caesar about this. And so he made an appeal, and therefore they put him in chains and carried him off to Rome so he could appear before Caesar and give an account of the charges against him. See, in Proverbs 29:2, we find it is appropriate to express disapproval with government corruption. And that's true. We don't like it. We see it. We see it every day, and we don't like it. But yet, many people in this country really don't care. They don't care about the government corruption. As long as it doesn't bother them, they really do not care. See, the authorities should be respected. And yet we see that's not taking place. See, in Romans 13, 1 through 7, we have a long passage there which talks about the fact that, yes, God placed these governments in that position for several reasons. One of the reasons is to protect the innocent and to basically punish the evildoer. That's what they're supposed to do. And Paul had suffered violation of his rights on multiple occasions, but he still insisted that governing authorities be submitted to because God had ordained them. And when you think about the corruption in our country and how bad it is in our state and our city politics and in this country, we see how bad it is. Folks, this is nothing compared to what it was in the first century. They were so corrupt back then. It was a whole lot worse than we see today. And we were told to submit to the governing authorities in those horrible times. So we should do that. And the governing authorities, they're the ones that make the law. So we should obey the law. That's what he's talking about. And 1 Peter 2, 13 through 17, Peter echoed his fellow apostle, teaching that honor is owed to those in power. I mean, accordingly, breaking the law must not be tolerated. It must not be tolerated. It cannot be condoned. And even if an injustice has taken place, there's still no excuse to do all the rioting and looting that we've seen in recent years. See, riots are inexcusable, and they should not be. Ephesians 4, 26 to 27, and verse 31 tells us how we're supposed to treat each other, how we're supposed to treat every man. And anger should be controlled. Yes, we have that, what we call righteous indignation. We have that anger, but not to the point where we lose control. And that's what has happened over this past year. We saw it in several places in several cities across this land. Yeah, people get out there and they start out basically saying, this isn't right. You did something wrong, and that's not fair. But then people took opportunity, and then all of a sudden it got out of hand. And Genesis 6, 11 through 13, Romans 1:30. We know violence is unconscionable and is the very reason God once destroyed the world, because the thought of every man was evil continuously, that we read there in Genesis 6. And God says, I'm not going to put up with this. In Exodus 23 and verse 2, he says, do not follow a crowd to do mischief. So it is stupid and dangerous to follow the crowd. Yeah, the crowd's going to get out there and they're going to start chanting. They're going to start hollering. What do we want? Justice. When do we want it? Now. In other words, take anybody who looks like that guy and just put a gun to their head and pull the trigger. I mean, that's basically what was being promoted. And sadly, that did happen. Happens on several occasions. See, in Acts 19, 23 through 31, Scripture does record a riot occurred once in Ephesus. Yeah, they got all upset because Paul was converting a lot of people, and they started not buying the idols that people were making. And they said, we got to do something about this. So they just kind of caused an uproar, and they basically started a riot. And people were going along, they were throwing things in the air, they were smashing things, they were throwing bricks through windows and things like that. And why are you doing this? I don't know. I mean, they all of a sudden revert to becoming teenagers. When all of a sudden they're asked, why did you do this? Well, they became teenagers. Well, I don't know. I mean, a standard answer for a teenager. We know that. And so it happened in the Scriptures, but it was a quelled through calm reasoning. As Paul got up there and said, wait a minute. And Paul had some help in that occasion because they were upset at Paul. But here, the city treasurer, the city clerk, also known as treasurer, reminded the rioters that if their case was so obviously true, then nothing could successfully oppose it. You're bringing charges against this man, come bring your evidence and we will see. And if it's so accurate and he's guilty, well then, guess what? He's going to be dealt with. That's what the city clerk said. He told the mob that if their case was valid, then the courts were the appropriate recourse. Rioting does not settle that. If there's a misjustice or something that is wrong, yeah, the courts need to decide. People do not need to take it into their own hands. He further informed them that their gathering in such a fashion was itself illegal. They had laws about gatherings back then. Not like this country where, yeah, we have the right to assemble. For what reason? Basically for any reason we want to. However, there's other laws that still have to be recognized. And sometimes people have to have permits to gather together. Some people do and some people don't. All right, so leaders like this man should apply the same rationale in modern circumstances. But has that happened? No. Sometimes the leaders even promote the violence. Sometimes the leaders encourage the violence. Well, you got to make your voice heard. And that's just the wrong way to do it. See, in Matthew 27, 22 through 26, Mark 15, 15, unfortunately, few civic leaders were as wise as was the clerk in Ephesus. Now, what do we know? Pontius Pilate, governor of Judea, he was a coward. And he capitulated to the bloodthirsty crowd. We want justice. We want this man dead now. And he didn't say, wait a minute. He hadn't had a trial. He's not guilty of anything that I'm aware of. He needs to be freed. No, we want him dead now. So what did he do? Well, he gave in. And he had an innocent man put to death. History tells us that shortly afterwards, he was removed from his position because he allowed the crowd to take control. We see in our land, a lot of times, the crowd takes control. And that's not good. So fearing the tumult that was rising, Pilate gave up Jesus to crucifixion. And this is the danger of a riot, that innocents will suffer. And not just directly at the hands of the rebels, but by the acquiescence of those charged with leading. I mean, they shouldn't have allowed this stuff to happen. People lost their businesses. People lost their lives. They lost their homes. They lost their income. Just because someone screamed, "We want justice. We want justice." See, criminals deserve punishment. Nowadays, when you watch the news media, it seems like the criminals are glorified and commended as heroes. "Oh, you're a hero. What did they do?" "Well, he's a thug that beat up somebody, but he became the hero." See, in 1 Peter 2:20, "Those who have committed crimes have no reason to complain when they are punished." That's true. That's what he said. But those who are Christians who get punished because they haven't done anything wrong, then they're to be glorified with Christ. Because that's what Christ did. Christ set the example that he did no wrong, but yet he was put to death for it. And history has shown over the years that many people who were faithful children of God were put to death even though they didn't do anything wrong. They didn't violate the law. Just people hated them because they were Christians. And that's still taking place today. In Acts 25 and verse 11, "Those who haven't perpetrated evil do not deserve punishment." But that possibility doesn't make criminal prosecution invalid. If you haven't done evil, you don't deserve to be punished. I think we all can agree with that. But yet, some people are supposed to be punished even though they didn't do anything wrong. And they call that justice. See, in Ecclesiastes 8, verse 11, "Punishment against wickedness must be swift to serve as a deterrent for others." I mean, punishment is supposed to be there. I mean, we saw a lot of cases this past year. People were arrested by the police and let go that very day. And what do? They get arrested again and again and again. One person got arrested 5 times, 5 days in a row, because they were doing evil. They were doing violence. They were rioting. They were smashing and doing vandalism. Like I said, government has the responsibility to punish the evildoer. And when they do not do it, what does it do? It emboldens other people to take matters into their own hands and not worry about that, because they recognize how corrupt it is. And in many ways, they're happy that it is corrupt. Another thing we have to learn is authorities are not above the law. And that's pointed out all the time in our political system. Luke 3, 7 through 14, when John preached repentance, sinners wanted to hear applications of it. I mean, John preached repentance. People want, "Hey, what's this you're talking about?" And sinners wanted to hear, "What do I need to do?" But others, they didn't want to hear that. They didn't want him preaching. So John just turned around and called them, "You brood of vipers." I mean, that's what you are. And specifically, civil servants inquired about their own circumstances. See, tax collectors were told to be honest, and soldiers were told not to intimidate people. Yes, do your job, do your duty, but don't intimidate people just because you can. Tax collectors, you take what people owe. You don't put more on them. "Well, there's a tax for this, a tax for that. I'm going to give you a tax for this." So this very teaching implies there is a tendency on the part of those in power to abuse such power. And a lot of times they do. And it's not right, but they do it. See, Leviticus 19 and 15 and Proverbs 23 and 24, "Partiality must not enter into the administration of justice." In other words, that's why Lady Liberty is described with that balance scale in her hand and being blindfolded. You judge people on the merits of their case, not on the color of their skin. And we've been trying to advocate that for many years, but people just don't seem to be paying attention. And so, facts should prevail, not sentiment. And so, if someone was hurt, yeah, they can seek compensation. But like I said, rioting is not the answer. Deuteronomy 19, 15 through 21. A guilty verdict requires the testimony of no less than two witnesses. And then that's what it was. If someone did something, there's a few exceptions to this rule in the Old Testament. But for the most part, if you're going to bring a charge against somebody, you've got to have several witnesses to show, okay, yeah, they did it. Like the man who was gathering sticks on the Sabbath. Well, a lot of people saw him, and they all came, okay, this man was gathering sticks on the Sabbath. They had the witnesses. Now, if one person had a problem with somebody else, well, I saw Chris picking up sticks on the Sabbath, so she needs to be stoned. Maybe I got a beef with Chris, or any of you. And people could do that back then. And that's what people do nowadays. I mean, they get a beef with somebody, they start making charges. Doesn't matter if the charges are true or not. They're hoping that the damage can be done. We saw that in a lot of the confirmation hearings. See, it is a shame that crimes are prosecuted in modern times on circumstantial evidence. Single witness testimony or the testimony of so-called expert witnesses who are not witnesses in the strict definition of being eyewitnesses. And so, yeah, our court system is flawed. And another thing about justice, when we have humans involved, we have people with different political backgrounds and different bents on their background and different thinking about it. And when a lawyer can get up and make an appeal to speak to the emotions, this person's really not a bad person. I mean, they're very sweet. They're very kind. He bought his mother a gift on Mother's Day. I mean, he's really a good person. Just forget the fact that he was rioting out there and throwing pipe bombs around or something like that. Don't worry about that part. He's really a good person. And guess what? Okay. We'll give him a chance. I mean, we see that. I mean, that's why we do not have true justice in our world, because we have that human factor. And why? God gave us compassion, right? One of the characteristics that God has that he wants us to have is compassion. We should be showing compassion upon others. But yet we also need to be rendering justice where it is due. In the event of false testimony, the perjurer must be sentenced to the punishment that would have befallen the accused. I mean, let's face it, if what he is given is false testimony, if the punishment for that is death, guess what? The perjurer, the one who committed perjury, bearing false witness, they're going to suffer the same punishment. I know people don't like to talk about this, but racism is inexcusable. There's no reason for it, and there should never be a reason for it. There should be no justification for it. See, in Genesis 1, 26, 27, we're made in the image of God. And so it necessarily follows that every man and woman is deserving of the respect afforded their origin, that we all came from God. And even though we have different skin colors, that doesn't give us a right to mistreat anybody. Yes, we're all equal in the sight of God. We're all human beings. And that's how we should look at it. But some people, for various reasons, could be because of fear, because of maybe they're bringing up or whatever, they have developed animosity towards others who are not like them. And that's happening around the world, not just this country, but all around this world. These things are taking place. See, God made us all of one blood and simply expects us all to seek Him out. That's what God wants. He wants us all to seek Him. And this is what matters, that we all search God out. Find out what God wants from us. God says, love your fellow man. And He didn't put any adjectives on there. He didn't say what kind of man you're supposed to love. We're supposed to love everybody. Now, true, some people don't want to be loved, and they make it known. So, yeah, we can avoid them. No problem. But there's never a reason to mistreat somebody because of the color of their skin. I mean, Martin Luther King Jr. said that in his I Have a Dream speech. And that was such powerful words. Some people actually took it to heart. In fact, most people took it to heart. You listen to news media, you think everybody's racist out there. But no. There's very few out there. The majority of us, skin color does not matter. See, the radio host, talk show host, Larry King, he said, racism is dumb. And that's true. And it doesn't matter if you hate whites, hate blacks, hate browns, hate Muslims, hate someone who speaks a different language. It's all just as dumb as it can be. And anybody, and I had a message not too long ago on Facebook, a racist will not go to heaven. If you have animosity towards anybody, doesn't matter if they're the same race as you or whatever. If you have animosity towards anybody, you cannot go to heaven. See in Acts 10, 34 and 35. In Christ, it matters not that we are different races, cultures, genders, or socioeconomic status. Acts 10, 34. Peter said that in every nation, the man who fears God and does what is right is accepted by God. I mean, it should be that way for all mankind. If someone does what is right and respects God, it doesn't matter. I mean, you talk about animosity. I mean, Jews hated the Gentiles. Jews had a built-in, inbred animosity towards Gentiles. Just as much spit on them and kick them and don't care if they die or anything like that. They had that type. And here Peter is talking to a Gentile. Said, you know what? As far as God is concerned, if you do right, God's going to accept you. I mean, they had different cultures. Doesn't matter, but genders either. Jesus spoke to the woman at the well, and she was taken aback. How is it that you, being a Jew, talk to me, a Samaritan woman? I mean, that caught her by surprise. So that pretty much tells you the climate. Basically, women were not addressed, were not spoken to. I mean, they were lower class citizens from everybody else back then. Doesn't mean it was right, but that's how they were treated. Socioeconomic status. Rich, poor. Rich people look down on the poor people and take advantage of them. And it shouldn't be that way. See, having Christ in common is all we should care about. I mean, that's what our goal should be as Christians, having Christ in common. And that means we need to associate ourselves with Christians. In Acts 8, 26 through 40, the one early convert to the gospel was an Ethiopian. Yeah, Philip went and preached to this man. He was an Ethiopian. He was pretty much a different color. He was from Africa. But yet, that didn't stop Philip. The Spirit said, go up and join yourself. So Philip taught him. And he obeyed the gospel. See, his skin had no bearing on his obedience to the gospel. And it shouldn't have any bearing for us either. If we have any animosity towards anybody because of their skin color, we got a problem. And God is not happy with us. We have to acknowledge that. You know, Moses was in an interracial marriage. In fact, they had quite a bit of it going on. And this idea that Jesus was a white man, we see paintings of Jesus all the time. He looks like some guy from Sweden with long hair. No. Jesus was as dark as the rest of them. So that really should not matter. So these things take place. It upset Moses' family because he had half-breeds for children. They didn't like that. But then here, Jacob turns around and blesses his children instead of him. I mean, he accepted them because they were his grandchildren. Now, in the end, justice is going to triumph. And when we're talking about the justice of God will go in there. Because every act is going to be brought to judgment. Everything we do, we're going to be judged by. And it will be the most righteous judgment that you can imagine. Now, a lot of people are not going to like their judgment. So if they see that that's the case, then they need to make some changes so that they will like their justice. Like their judgments. See, in Ecclesiastes 12, 13, and 14, regardless of what justice or injustice occurs under the sun, God will ultimately judge every secret. God knows it all. Romans 2, 16, no one will get away with their crimes for any sins when Christ has the final say. People do things all the time. They don't get caught. I mean, we see it. People aren't caught. They're not arrested. They're not put in jail for the crimes they've done. But there will be a final day when they will stand before God and give that account. 1 Corinthians 4, 5. May we all rely on God's justice to prevail. And it will. So if we want to be right with God, we've got to get on the same wavelength where God is. And we've got to treat people with the respect that God wants us to treat people. It's just that simple. So it seems there's no end to those willing to cause conflict. And in our world, that happens a lot. We call them by different names. Sometimes we call them politicians. Sometimes we call them activists. Sometimes we call them this name or that name. And sometimes, when it is undeserved, people say things to you that's undeserved because they make assumptions. Just because you're a particular color, you must be a racist. I mean, that's painful. It really is. And there will always be agitators to provoke crowds to do things in the name of justice. They do things that sometimes will be considered evil in the sight of God. But they get caught up. They follow the crowd to do mischief. You know, that's what Exodus 16, 2 says. Do not follow a crowd to do injustice or do mischief. See, a Christian should not participate in such actions. We can voice our opinion. There's avenues by which we can do that. Some things we recognize that is wrong, and it should not be that way. And so, but we cannot get out there and pick up the rocks and start throwing rocks and breaking windows and lighting cars on fire and hurting other people just because everybody else is doing it. Christians should not participate in such actions. because God will sort it out in the end. That's what we have. We have the assurance. God's going to sort it out in the end. So we don't have to take it upon ourselves to see that justice is served. That's God's place. And so we remember that. Remember he said, pay back no one evil for evil, but let God be the one to judge. And so that's where we need to be. And so when you think about justice, the only true justice is that which God is going to give. And everything else is going to be a problem for somebody. So consider that. I tried staying away from political thoughts during this pandemic, but the idea of justice rings so true, and I hope you appreciate what we had to say today. We're going to sing an invitation song. If anyone does need to respond, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.